Welcome to Mac and Cheese episode 42. I'm Mac Mail.
And I'm Graham Hicks.
And today, since it's summer and there's not a lot happening politically that caught our eye, we're going to talk a bit about food, some exciting stuff happening in the local food scene in Edmonton, and also about festivals.
I think there's some really great food news. Probably most of you know about Encore Magazine, which is the Air Canada.
Or En Route.
En Route,
yeah.
Right, En Route magazine. It sits in the little thing in front of you on the airplane, and when you're thoroughly bored and you don't have earphones, you pick it up and you start looking through it. But one of the features they do, which we all pay attention to, is the 10 best restaurants in Canada.
Right, every year.
Edmonton never seems to go near it. We have a perennial complaint. We're never ignored. You know, Wheeze is ignored. They think we're a little sister to Calgary. Well, look what's happened this year.
We have three restaurants nominated, among many from Toronto and Vancouver and other places, for the list. So Range Road.
Range Road, terrific restaurant.
Chef Blair Lebsack. North 53.
Equally interesting.
And Woodwork.
Another fabulous little bistro.
Hot downtown spot. Always packed.
But doesn't this tell us, like, you know, it's not so much look at us, as, yeah, finally this restaurant scene has come of age in a big hurry. All those restaurants, I mean, I think Range Road, Blair's only been there, what, a year and a half or so?
Yeah.
The other two are less than a year old, and to have made this kind of splash this quickly, and to carry it off, to be that good so quickly, is really exciting. And what a signal. It is a signal. Of course we're all terribly proud of being Edmontonians, and would somebody please look at us? You know? Well, here's a reason, and maybe we should sort of handle it with a bit of maturity, not to say, they're paying attention to us, but
right.
Yeah, we have a darn good food scene.
It's like, absolutely, there should be Edmonton restaurants on the list, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other good thing for progress in the Edmonton scene is, as much as I love Daniel Costa and Corso 32 and all the great things he's done, they're not up for this award, which means there's enough other interesting new restaurants in Edmonton. You know, everybody talks about Corso, and it's a great place, but they're
not
on the list, right?
You stay top of mind all the time.
And
right?
It's good for Edmonton to have more than one, right?
Yes.
It's good for Edmonton to have some other chefs that are getting some recognition abroad, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think Daniel will probably be in full agreement. He's probably delighted to see this
Absolutely.
Happening. You know, he's established. His restaurant's full every night. Hardware Grill does fine. You know, Tavern 1903 is terrific. But they've had all the accolades, and I'm sure they're quite happy to pass the torch.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, interesting thing about Daniel, he launched a food app the other day. Did you see that?
Nope.
Another new thing in Edmonton's food scene. He's got, like, a recipe app that you can download. I think it's called Tubalo or something from Daniel Costa. So that's
just another
branching
kind of,
out.
Another little offering that if you're a big Daniel Costa fan, you can... But how am I going to cook anything that's going to come close to what that man does?
That's what Sharon and I were saying. We're like, we could try to do this at home. Came home and tried it.
Yeah.
Horrible failure. Just walk down the street next time. Way better.
How true. And there's some other really cool little restaurant things happening as well. You're mentioning that the Elm Street Cafe guy, Nate Box, is now, is he opening another spot or is he moving
so new spot. So Elm has done some interesting
right.
things. They have the catering kitchen on Alberta Avenue and 118th Ave,
mm-hmm.
and they keep doing pop-up dinners. So, you know, one weekend it'll be like sausages. So all their, you know, they'll
right.
make sausage. And it's like a pop-up dinner thing. And then they opened District over on 109th Street, little coffee shop, earlier this year, and it's been incredibly popular. They sell out every day, it seems. Like they're always posting that they've sold out. So great spot for coffee and cafe like treats. Like, you know, they have a really popular Rice Krispie Square actually that they make.
Okay.
But today they announced another location called Burrow, and Burrow is many years in the making. I remember actually, I tweeted about it a long time ago, when I stumbled upon the RFP that had gone out from the city of Edmonton to say, hey, if you want to open a restaurant in an LRT station, get in touch with us. And I saw that Elm had been throwing their name in the running, and I took it down because they weren't ready and all that. But today they announced it's happening.
Well, that's very, very interesting. So this guy who's a very seasoned restaurateur, especially in that kind of fast food, buns, whatnot,
yep.
has seen, he thinks there's enough of a market, enough traffic in an LRT station, in central LRT, to have a go at finally bringing some of that kind of flair to our, I mean, let's face it, underground LRT here You can't even find a washroom, let alone a sandwich,
Or
you
a
know?
light sometimes. It's pretty dingy down there, right?
Yeah. Oh, so that's really encouraging. He's going to try it out, and maybe let's always be optimistic. Maybe that'll spawn other stuff.
Yeah, it's exciting to see in the LRT station something happening. It's right downtown, which makes sense. There's a huge core of office workers right around there, and so many of them go underground anyway, right to the food courts and
And
stuff.
it's not just somebody who's going to kind of, you know, buy some sandwiches prepackaged and try to
Right.
sell them. He, you know, this is a guy
They
with
make it
pride,
all. Yeah.
and yeah. And then meanwhile, up above, my sources tell me, do you remember Glenn Carrier, the boxing guy? Probably you don't.
Name
Not
didn't ring a bell
anyway.
until you mentioned the food truck, but
Yes.
yeah.
He runs a food truck now, the Paddy Wagon,
Yep,
and he's
burgers.
telling me he's opening. Same central station, but on the surface, when you go upstairs there's a kind of, it's slightly deserted now, but there's a little kiosk area that was the Edmonton Transit System. They had an office and whatnot.
Okay.
Now he tells me he's taking over that space to have it as a genuine little takeout restaurant. And he's calling it Baba Finkelstein's, and
Interesting.
he's going to do a deli. He wants real Montreal smoked meat. He wants to make it an authentic experience. So this is pretty cool. You could go down and buy your coffee downstairs at Burrow, and you could
Right.
come upstairs and pick up a smoked meat sandwich from Baba Finkelstein's.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I work right above Central LRT station, so I'm very happy about all this new stuff happening.
That's cool. Hey, have we mentioned as well the new Mexican one? I'm sorry, the chef's name escaped me. The Yvonne's guy, who's now moved over in Old Strathcona, the former Sweet 69.
Okay.
It's going to be a really. It's kind of taking its cue from Le
Trecanalis,
Trey
yeah.
Canelli's,
Whose
but he's
new
doing the other
location is
take.
opening soon too, actually?
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Ross Tisato in the Mercer
Mercer,
warehouse.
yeah, and that's going to be quite a big leap for them, isn't it? A whole different concept.
Whole different concept, bigger space, and heart of the action, really. It'll be interesting to see with the arena coming online too, how well they do.
Now, this town is just cracking when it comes to food. We were at Meat the other day.
Yeah.
What a fun concept. And so it's a tea room that serves really good smoked meats.
Yeah.
That's just too funny. And then the last note on this one, it just killed me. How did Julio's Barrio, you walk along, they managed to get some extension that takes them right out into the parking in
Yeah.
front of them.
Yeah.
I've never seen the city give that kind of permit before, ever. Now, I imagine there must be 100 other restaurants now lined up saying, if they can do it, we can do it.
Right.
But it's a very neat concept where now the whole of Julio's Barrio, like, let's face it, the food there is never going to be anything to write home about,
No.
but it's got great atmosphere. All those
Good people
windows are open,
watching.
people are by the tons, and now it pushes out across the sidewalk practically onto the street.
Yeah,
Very
no,
cool.
it's very interesting. It's an offshoot of the work that was started a couple years ago, largely by the Trecanalis guys, right? To
Yes,
get
right.
sidewalk patios approved, and the city has relaxed those rules and been improving them much more frequently, and it sounds like the rules have gone far enough to go into the parking, so that's exciting.
As a 104th Street guy, are you seeing on a nice day all the patios up and down the street here are getting filled up? And is there a real nice little street vibe happening?
It's really exciting. I mean, we were in the Sin patio the other day, and
Yeah.
tons of people walking by. That's a great little patio. Kelly's has their patio that they've added umbrellas to recently, and the newest one on the street here is on the corner here, the burger place.
The burger.
The Berg, yeah, the Berg. They have a patio outside now as well,
Excellent.
and which is kind of neat. And they have an interesting patio where they have like a bench along the sidewalk side, so you could sit at the bench and like touch, high five the people as they walk by you on the sidewalk, which is a bit unusual, but it seems full. There's people in there all the time, so.
Is there a planning department actually sort of getting fairly advanced thinking here? This is wonderful.
Seems like they want to encourage
So
it.
we've only got 4 months of it. Let's do the best we can.
Yep, absolutely.
So speaking of which,
Well, last thing on food I want to mention
okay.
just
Oh, one
quickly.
more.
One more. Exciting on 104th Street, we also have Earth's General Store that opened now that
Yep.
Sobeys closed, so you
Yep.
can still get some milk. And the other one is Jacek or Jacek
The
Chocolate.
chocolate guys.
Yep, they replaced the bubble tea place, and we were in there on Saturday during the market. It was packed. They were giving away toasted marshmallows, which were quite good. So it's a great little addition to 104th Street as
And
well.
they do excellent chocolates, all handcrafted themselves, right?
Yep, that's right.
Perfect. Heard a little story about Sobeys, I gotta tell you.
Okay.
This is just scuttled, but it's probably completely wrong. But I was scratching my head over, you know, every time you walked in there, it was packed. There's
Yep.
always like a 5 minute lineup to get out, you know, because everyone's buying their stuff. Fastest convenience store or biggest convenience store in the city.
Right.
Why would they have been closing down? Well, I was chatting with one of the clerks, and she said, no, it's not about what happened was the landlord rent was coming up, or the lease was coming up. The landlord wanted to re up the rents big time, and basically Sobeys called their bluff. Said,
Okay.
say, nope, we're walking. And that's what I heard. It actually makes more sense than Sobeys just shutting out because it is a moneymaker of some sort.
Yeah.
And there's something also to the effect that Sobeys is kind of giving them the double because I don't quite get it, but they have an exclusive on the rent, or they're going to keep paying the rent for a while
Okay.
and nobody else can move in or something. I
Oh,
don't
that's
know.
disappointing.
Anyhow, that
That's true.
gets, I
Yeah.
don't know how much of that to believe.
Well, hopefully something moves in there soon, and hopefully it's also a place where you can get food, groceries, that kind of
Yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Now, speaking of all these things are sunrise and exciting and new and
Yep.
vibrant, we're still watching poor old K-Days. Now, is it just us because we're kind of fairly, well, I won't say sophisticated, I'd never go that far about myself, but you know, once your kids are grown up, whatever, you don't have much to do with K-Days. It's always great to see the parade, but it's a pretty generic parade.
Yep. And it happens on a Friday when people are working, and
Yep, still tons of people come downtown to see it.
there's a
That's
ton of
fun.
people, for sure. A ton
That's
of
fun.
people. Yeah.
But it's become more and more generic again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like nobody quite knows what K-Days is. Once it started, there was the Midway, but you
Yeah.
know, I don't know anybody who went.
Well, we went to walk around and eat the food. I mean, we don't go on rides anymore, right?
Do you still really dig that the corn dogs and the real bad
I
stuff?
like the corn dogs once a year, so I go to K-Days and get the corn dogs, and we try some of the new dishes. And this year, I was excited to go see the Startup Edmonton had a hack lab space set up in the Agricom or in the
Oh,
expo
yes.
center and stuff. So that was kind of neat. And there was actually a lot of people in there, kids building things, and
Okay.
there's a video game station set up and all this kind of thing. So I like checking that stuff out,
Yeah.
but I go one day
Well,
for a
good for
few
you. At
hours.
least you go one day to check it out.
And I should say we usually get to go for free because Sharon gets invited to check out the food
Yes.
from K-Days, right?
Yes, being a
So
blogger has got its advantages.
So, but I don't go on the rides or anything like that. And this year they announced their attendance numbers after the 10 days were over, and it was down again. It was about 740,000 people, they said.
Any weather reason?
Well, I think you've always got to count on a bit of rain through the 10
But they
days.
didn't have 3 or 4 days
They
of
didn't have
continuous
more
rain.
than usual. They had, I think, a couple of days. The day
Yeah.
we went, it was threatening, but it was actually, quite sunny and warm and stuff, so.
I think there's just an identity crisis there. They're,
I think
they
so too,
they've
yeah.
got it. I wouldn't want to be on their board. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And then compare that to the fun we just had recently. Heritage Days was just so full of life and vigor, and down in Harlech Park, they said that 350,000 people in 3 days,
Right.
peaking at somewhere around 150,000 on Saturday afternoon.
Which is just unreal, hey? That many
Well,
people.
that means that almost 2 out of every 10 Edmontonians were there.
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful. I was there manning the River Valley Alliance booth, helping
Okay.
out. The number of people who came by who are recent arrivals,
Right.
professional people, young, who are engineers and nurses. Wow, are we ever reversing that intellectual? Now we're getting such intellectual property gain or
Right,
brains, you
brain
know?
grain. Brain, I
These are,
don't know,
yeah,
gain,
but these
yeah.
are the people that are going to the bistros. These are
Right.
the people that. And they're so excited about the River Valley, and they look around Heritage Days, and this is where you start getting the Edmonton fix, where this town starts to get its claws into you, and then suddenly you realize you've been here 20 years and you're probably not going to live anywhere else, right?
Right,
So,
absolutely. Yeah,
fun to watch.
I brought my cousin to Heritage Days on the weekend. She's from Australia. She's here in Edmonton visiting for about a month, and she'll go to Jasper, those kinds of
Yeah,
places.
yeah.
But while she was in town, we wanted to take her to a festival, so we took her down to Heritage Days, and she thought it was great. I mean, we got to try. She couldn't believe how many people there were, for one thing. And she mentioned something very interesting that I mentioned to you off air, that in Adelaide, where she's from, a lot of the events and festivals have an admission fee on top of, buying food and things like that once you get inside. And she couldn't believe that we just hopped on the bus at the park and ride and or at the LRT station, and the shuttle took us down, and all these people just swarmed in, and we're having a great time eating lots of food. So she thought it was great.
Maybe this is part of the secret of most of our festivals. Maybe K-Day should stop charging admission and see what happens.
Who knows, right? What's the worst that could
They go broke, but
happen?
and then the Big Valley Jamboree
Well, they could sell
again.
ride passes and just not sell
Yeah,
admission and stuff. But anyway,
exactly.
yeah.
Big Valley Jamboree equally, very, very different crowd, of course,
Right.
from Heritage Days, but And I think I've gone once or twice in the 30 years. I mean, I'm no cowboy, I'm not a country music fan, but I sure admire, A, it's a very, very well run.
Right.
All kinds of people go and they never miss it. And it's a Heritage Days for a totally different crowd.
Right.
But two such extremely successful, well-run events
Yeah.
in our town. Oh, my heart beats with civic pride.
And my favorite one coming up soon is the Fringe. Also very well
The
organized.
Fringe is coming.
Yeah.
Fringe is coming.
So what do you think about this idea that I've heard a few people banter about, which is if you took the Fringe and all of the great things that the Fringe has, and instead of their own little small midway type thing, you had the K-Days Midway attached to that, would you have a super Stampede-like festival? I mean, I think we don't need to have a Stampede festival. I think it's great that we have so many events throughout the year, but there seems to be this desire for like a big identity-forming festival.
Disagree. I think this is all part of the renaissance of Edmonton. We are realizing who we are and what we are, and it's getting better by the day, and what we have is terrific, and we don't need to be constantly comparing ourselves to Calgary.
I agree with
I hate friggin' cowboy hats. I hate cowboy boots. I don't particularly like the theme. And one of the reasons I'd never live in Calgary is because I don't want to spend a whole week on one big drunk, you know.
Right, yeah.
The only thing I wish we did have is much more there was one day that the corporate world would all get out early and have a huge party up and down Jasper Avenue, a la Stampede parties. That'd be fun.
Right, yeah, that'd
But
be
no, but
cool.
what we got is terrific. And I don't know, you know, do you mess with winning formulas? How would you combine a midway with
No, for
fringe or
sure.
whatever? You know, and let them happen organically.
Fringe is a huge world unto itself, very successful. I wouldn't want to mess with that at all, right? It's the number one fringe festival in North America.
Heritage Days is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Big Valley Jamboree is terrific. What other festivals? All the stuff that Taste of Edmonton is great fun. They're all marvelous.
Yep. We have What the Truck coming up, if I can put in a little plug.
Yay!
Yeah, no, lots of good stuff. And it seems like very well attended. We were at Taste of Edmonton too, and it was packed. Full of people. So many people.
People love a festival.
And they love food.
Enough, and we've been talking and talking about food, so of course we've got to do our cheese of the day.
Okay.
This is again from our friends at the Cavern.
Yep.
It's called Le Douanier. And I said I'm looking for a kind of an Oka cheese. I was thinking about something kind of a little firm, a little sharp, little
Yeah.
jelly. And she said she recommended this. And the interesting thing about it is got a maple wood ash running through the center. You know, like blue cheese, a little vein. Now, who would come up with throwing like wood fire ash into a cheese?
Well, I thought it was an odd looking cheese when you unpacked it here because it's a hard looking cheese, but it had this blue cheese like look to it, and I'm like, that's really interesting. But so it's an ash.
And it's really interesting because it's kind
Tastes
of
really
a,
good.
it's sour but creamy, sort of soft but savory, and that ash is doing something to it.
I like that cheese actually. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Canada. Look at that.
It's a Quebec. Oh, Quebec's such a leader in good cheeses.
Noyen region. Good stuff.
So. And that, and now I think we're going to take a couple of weeks off. Are we not right?
That's
It's our
right.
summer break.
Summer break. We'll come back early September, maybe.
Okay.
Get back into the swing of things when
Yeah.
council returns.
There'll be so much to talk about and a leadership campaign. And, you know, this
That's
has been
right,
really
yeah.
fun just chronicling the rise, the renaissance of Edmonton. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this before on this podcast, but sitting around with my old pals at the Empress, we call it the old guys drinking club, right? Kind of looking at each other and saying, you know, everything that we worked so hard for in the last 30 years is now happening. Happening so quickly and so exciting. And here we are in our 60s. This is not fair.
Well, we'll keep documenting it together.
I'm going to live to be 95, so.
There you go. Check us out at macandcheese.ca.